All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, November 26th of 2024. And looking ahead here, we have a five-game NBA main slate tonight. We have a two-game NHL slate, and then we have a two-game college football slate. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do this show on Saturdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. Just so you guys know, we are only doing this show Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week with the Thanksgiving holiday. And then after that, I will be back next Monday. All right. What is up, Aaron? Aaron said, what's up? All right. Let's get SaberSim up. Let's jump into questions that came in the Discord first, and then we'll jump over to the live YouTube chat. So first question, I decided to audit my process today, and I am alarmed at my ROI numbers for NFL and PGA contests since 2020. What is an expected ROI percentage in a calendar year for the average DFS player? I feel like I'm doing something wrong, even with great tools like SaberSim at my disposal. Okay, good question. You know, honestly, PGA and NFL are really hard to judge, right? And we talked about this a little bit, but I want to talk about it again. So one of the reasons they're so hard to judge is because these are weekly sports, right? Imagine an NBA season. You have, you know, a main slate basically every single day, and you get 30 of those in a month, and then the season's about 6 months long. So you get 180 main slates in a NBA regular season. For NFL, well, now there are 18 regular season weeks, right? So in the regular season, you're getting 18 main slates, which is 1/10 of what you get for an NBA season. So in DFS terms, you know, slate-wise, 10 NFL seasons is equivalent to the sample size of one NBA season. So I say that to say that sports like PGA, sports like NFL can be a lot higher variance, right? So like you could be good at NFL and lose for an entire year, you know? So I just want to be clear on that part. What can you do about this, right? Well, I think about that question a lot, right? I think one of the biggest things that you should be doing is trying to find ways to smooth out your variance. And honestly, the best way I've found is starting with I'm going to play the smallest slates possible approach and working your way up to the big slates, right? So like a good example is if we just like go back to NFL, right? And we'll talk about this. All right. Who's somebody who did like super, super good this weekend? I was hoping to get somebody on Sunday. The first person that came to mind was Saquon Barkley. We could just go, right? Let's just go to the main slate. And then let's sort by actuals. Okay. So, you know what? I have a good example now. Let's take Miami, right? Miami had a really big weekend. A lot of the best stacks had Miami stacks with like Tua, Waddle, you know, Achan, Jonnu Smith, right? That Miami's a good example. If you didn't stack Miami on the main slate, it was going to be pretty hard to win, you know, most of the contests, right? So the way I think about it is like, okay, if I miss on the main slate, I'm toast, right? But what if you also played, and we'll just go here, but what if you also played the afternoon turbo? What if you also played the afternoon only? What if you also played the prime time? What if you also play the Monday to Thursday? What if you also play all these showdowns, right? I mean, you are breaking the slate out into mini slates, and all of those slates are uncorrelated, right? I mean, we go and do showdowns. You know, Detroit Indy, this showdown has no effect on what's going to happen in KC and Carolina, or at least my results in my standings, right? Like, hey, if Amon-Ra St. Brown breaks a 99-yard touchdown, you know, it has a huge effect on the main slate, but it has no effect on my lineups for the Chiefs in Carolina, right? So this is something I think about when it comes to weekly sports. We did an interview with Eric, one of our data scientists on the team, about our PGA model. I think at the beginning of 2024, I would have to go find that video, or it might have even been last year, but he was basically grinding PGA showdowns because, see, it's kind of the same thinking, right? He can get four of those in a week, right? You can only get one main slate. So for weekly sports are super, super high variance, tough contests to judge your play across, right? So the more slates you can play, the better it's going to be for you. If you're a winning player, right? If you're entering good lineups and you're winning, and or like, you know, your lineups are winning in the post contest sim and things like that, you want to help yourself realize that faster. And the best way you can do that is to play more slates, right? I'm not saying like, hey, play 10, 15, 20% of your bankroll, but break that down into smaller individual bite-sized pieces. So that's something I would say there. Second thing, right, is, you know, looking at your ROI is one thing, right, across your past results. Second would be like, what are your, you know, top 1% rates? What is your, what's another thing I'm thinking about, right? How are your post contest sim ROIs, right? Like, these are all things that you want to think about it as well, right? Because you could be entering really, really good lineups and not doing well. And like that does happen, right? So try and like look at your stuff like that, right? Like, hey, you know, my top 1% rate for, you know, X, Y, and Z is this. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, maybe I'm losing, but I think overall I'm actually doing pretty well. So that's something like I'll think about, and I'll give you guys an example. Let's see. I added this. I'm going to go to graphs. Try and show you guys this real quick. All right. I'm going to bring this up on screen. Give me a second. All right, so this is my Roto Tracker, and this is like what I mean. You know, this is a paid tool that you guys have to pay for if you guys want something like this. But basically what I'm doing right now is I'm looking at my NBA 2024-2025 season here. So it's the current season going on, right? And I've broken it down into 1% buckets. And I want to see like, hey, how am I doing, right? When I come over here, I've put 2.1% of my entries into the top 1% of a contest. So that's great, right? That means that like if it's a 100-man single entry, that, you know, my chance of winning it is closer to like 1 in 50, right? That means I'm doing really, really good. Now, I'm having a down year. Like I have not won, right? So when I judge my process, it's like, okay, you know, I'm probably down, I don't know, like a 20% ROI at the moment. But like when I look at stuff like this, it's like, hey, you know, this actually looks pretty good, right? My post contest sim ROIs look good. My top 1% finish rate looks good. Like I'm just out here hunting, you know, for that win that's going to take me from negative ROI back to positive ROI, right? So like this is like basically like what I mean. If you want to check it out, this is, you know, rototracker.com. You can see what it's about. But this more, you know, objective analysis is basically what I recommend here. All right. Good stuff there. Let's get Saber Sim back up. That's a good question to get us started today. Next question, and we'll get Saberson up. When using the new generate field from ownership, what percent does it use for match exposure? 15%? Or is this better than doing it the longer manual method? Good question. So basically what they're asking is, on if you're on We've added this new button, generate field from ownership, which if I remove the question, you can see it down here at the bottom, right? So typically what you would do before, right, is you would come in here, you would upload ownership projections, and then you click the gear icon, you go match exposure to ownership, and then you have these preset defaults, right, of like 15% and 25%. And then when you click save, it moves those to minimax exposures. And then from here, you can run a build, right? Well, we added this new button to basically streamline that process that says generate field from ownership. And then you get this pop-up. You can name your ownership. You can let us know how many lineups you want. You could select if you want to add duplicates or not. So if I'm just going to like name this one, I click save. It automatically does that for you. So just like a little bit faster here. Now, my assumption would be that it does use the 15% number. I don't know that 100%. So I can send a message here to our team and just ask and follow up in Discourse. Let me ask real quick. Does generate custom ownership use the plus minus 15% margin, or does it do something else? So I'll ask and I'll follow up. My assumption is that it does use the same percentage. All right, next question. In regards to the profit plan, is the 2.5 to 5% for each day or each individual sport on that day? For example, on a day with NHL, NBA, NFL, would it be okay to play 2.5 to 5% for each of those sports since they are unrelated to each other? Also, how do you normally break up the entries if you are playing the main slate in showdown, smaller slates for that sport? Thanks. Okay, so let's talk about the sport by sport thing first. So as far as the sport by sport goes, what we recommend is think about it as do your entry fees on one slate, are they correlated to another slate, right? Kind of what I was already talking about, where it's like if I'm playing NBA, you know, what occurs on the NBA slate has no impact on how skaters do on an NHL slate, right? I should be fine playing 2.5 to 5% in effectively both of those, right? Now, if you're playing, you know, the main slate, but you're also playing the early only slate, well, like, hey, you know, a lot of those overlap, right? So you kind of want to treat those as a little bit similar, right? So I would be thinking about that like as a whole. So like, hey, across, you know, the main slate, the early onlys, the afternoon onlys, the showdowns, you know, I probably want to play like 5% total. So that's the way I'd be thinking about it. I usually go from like the ground up, right? So like, I'll start with showdowns, and then depending on how much bankroll I have left, go into the smallest two-game slates, right? Or go into the smallest classics. So go to the two games, go to the three games, go to the four games, go to the five, six, seven, all the way up to the, like, the last slate you should be playing is the Thursday to Monday, right? That's the way I think about it, where all of the games are included. All right. Next question. I found when uploading free contests, the entries stay stock at, you know, this massive nine number. Is there a way to change those for the actual entry numbers on DK? Thanks. So there isn't, and that's because basically people can continue entering that up until lock. So, you know, 30 seconds to lock, people can keep entering it. So you don't know exactly how many entries it has. What I would just do is I would just look at it, and when you're ready to build lineups, I would just estimate what it's going to end up at. So like, you know, you have like your contest sim, and then it's at, you know, 3,500 people and you're 30 minutes to lock and you're building your lineups, I would just set it to 4,000 and leave it. It's going to be closer than what the default is. So if you just do that, you should be fine. All right, next question. So will we be getting a video update on the NBA projections in a couple weeks? So in case anybody's not caught up with this, we put out a tweet. We put out a post in Discord. We put out an email. If you guys are like on our email list or a subscriber, you should have seen this. But basically, we're trying to make our NBA model even better than it already is. You know, this isn't about crowdsourcing projections. We're basically looking to hire three NBA analysts to effectively provide their own fantasy point per minute and minute projections, and kind of like a competition against each other. And the analyst will be making $5,000 a month, and then the person who is the most accurate will be getting an extra $5,000 bonus. If you guys read the email, it should say exactly that. And I don't know if there's going to be a video update around it. All you guys should know is that we continue to strive to be the best in the industry and provide the best projections. And, you know, we're willing to make sizable investments to continue to push the envelope there. So that's all that's going on that front. All right. Next question. Is there an easy way to build lineups in sets? It used to be fairly easy to build 5,000 lineups for single entry or 20 max, etc. Now it seems like I am stuck with one main build. Once I upload contests from DK, I can't build just for a small portion of these contests. Also, I want to be able to build in sets for large field contests. If this has already been discussed, can you point me to the right video? So you should basically always be able to build as many builds as you want. So I don't think I'm like 100% following here, but you could go to, you know, build two, and then you can go and, you know, click the plus icon and open up a new build. And then, you know, you open up a new build and you open up a new build. And then within each of these builds, right, you can customize it however you want. If you want to adjust the sliders to your liking, go for it. If you want to adjust minimax exposures, go for it. Different filters, different rules, different exposures. And then the only difference is when you get into the post build, what you can do is you can just decide like, hey, I only want to fill a subset of these contests. So from, you know, the save to contest button, you effectively just select only a certain set of lineups. So like, or a certain set of contests, like, hey, if I have 10 contests and I want to do this build for two of them, and then I want to save those. Well, in the save to contest option, in this green button here, you click that down arrow, and then you only select those two contests if you're doing it in direct fill or in autofill. You just uncheck them on like the left-hand side with a checkbox, like the player's name here. The player's name is the contest name. You just uncheck the checkbox for the contest that you don't want to fill. So you could do that however way you want. But you should be able to build in sets still. That shouldn't be a problem. All right. For the upcoming Thanksgiving slate, will it be feasible to target each contest ROI individually or general target ROI? Thanks. Contest-specific ROI is always going to be a better option than using the average across all of the contests that you're playing. So I would still continue to do that. And the main reason for that, right, is that contest sizes change and payout structures change. And those things matter, right? You're playing DraftKings, I think it's like $5 Millie Maker, you know, has 594,000 entries. Even if you're playing like the quarter jukebox, maybe it has like 100,000 entries or something like that. One, the payout structure is different. And then two, you know, there's 400,000 less entries in that contest. And both of those things matter. So contest specific is always best. All right. Derek said, what's an ideal ROI percent range you want to be in after editing exposures and running sims? Good question. So there's, you should think about it less from what range am I looking for, and just use a specific contest's highest number as your baseline, right? And the reason for that is ROIs are going to change depending on the type of contest you're playing, right? So like, for instance, I think a good example is like the NBA mini. Then if you were playing the $1.20 max, right? $1.20 max achievable ROIs are typically higher than the mini max. And you can see this in contest flashback, right? You can go back to yesterday and then like we could do this right now. So I go into the date, go back to yesterday, go to the main slate, go to contests. So, all right, let's say I want to come in here and then I want to go and look at the $1.20 max, the and one, right? I go to the and one, going to let these lineups load. Going to hard refresh and try again. All right, and one. All right, it looks like it loaded. Let's go to users, go to people who max entered, sim ROI. So the highest sim ROIs in this contest are above 100%, okay? So that's what we need to know. Then we go to the mini max here. And we go over to users, go to people who are under 50. Where you're gonna see this effect, right? Like, hey, you know, if you are doing the pre-contest sim for these contests, you're gonna see the same thing, right? Like your pre-contest sim ROIs in something like the Minimax are just gonna be lower than the and one, right? So always just use the highest ROI from the sim as like your baseline and then go from there, right? So the way I recommend doing this, especially if you're editing exposures, things like that, is to And we can just do this, right? Let me get rid of some of this other stuff I don't need. All right, so we have our lineups here. Do I have a contest sim? Okay, I do. Great. So after running the lineups, I'm going to run the contest sim, right? Okay, contest sim is finished. So what I would do right away, go into your aggregate metric, set up an average ROI. This is effectively your baseline ROI, right? So right now it's 19%. Then I would start to adjust your minimax exposures, right? So like, hey, what if I take Kyle Kuzma from 100% down to 50%, right? What if I match his exposure to his ownership? Well, then that brings my ROI from 19% down to 1.6. All right. So by doing it this way, you can see the impact that it has right away, right? Like, hey, my 50% max exposure brought my ROI down from 19% to 1%. You know, maybe I should rethink that, right? So this is like more the approach that I would recommend for figuring out what kind of impact your adjustments have, as opposed to like shooting for a specific number, because that number is always going to be changing based on the contest you're playing. All right. Aaron said, any tips on winning classic slates? It's easy to win showdowns with Saber Sim, but I really struggle with classics. Honestly, what I would do is one of two things, right? Number one, I would sign up for the build review show where I can bring your build up on stream and give you personalized feedback and advice about things that I think that you can do differently. Another thing would be to probably study your own lineups or study the winning lineups. I'm not the winning lineups, but like the best lineups in your contest, right? Like, hey, what are the best players in my contest doing, right? Like, yeah, you can sign up for the build review show. I can definitely, you know, give you some advice and stuff. But what about every day after that, right? I think you should spend time like looking at your lineups, looking at the highest sim ROI lineup, seeing what decisions they made versus what the decisions you made, and learning from that, right? Like I used to do this, you know, I used to study petty theft in Utical every single day. And the reason for that is that they're two very different players, right? At least from like what I saw, as far as like some of the decisions they make, but it's like, hey, you take these players and you know, you see like where their differences are compared to you versus each other. And you can learn things from that. Right. So studying like some of the best players in the contest is like always another really good thing to do. If you want to learn more about that, you can go to Saber School, go to Saber Sim 101, and then go to Study the Sharks, Reviewing Past Leets with the Saber System. It's a really good video if you don't know where to start. So those would be the two things that I would be doing to get better at classic slates. But if you want to sign up, our next build review show is on Monday. Give me your DK username, the sport and slate you want me to review, and I will add you to the list for the next show. All right, next question. Do Pro Plan users have access to Flashback to compare to other users? My user tab is grayed out when not sure where to look. So all of our subscribers, regardless if you're on Starter, Pro, Lite, Advanced, you know, Ultimate, like old subscriptions, whatever it is, have access to Flashback. It's possible. Sometimes we have trouble processing really large contests. You know, that'll happen like with like the NFL Minimax, where there's like 300,000+ entries, or like the play action. If you see that, if you are clicking on a past slate and the results are not populating, let us know and we can look to see if that post contest sim failed. And then if it did, we can manually intervene and get those results up. So that's what I would be doing. If you are trying to load it and it's not loading and you're having an issue, go to the top right corner, go to report a problem, write us a brief description, and then that'll go to our support team and we'll be able to reach back out to you from there. All right. Joshua said, hello, I'm new to, so when I'm doing the late swap build, should I not close out my previous build to make sure that it swaps out the right lineups? You don't need to, right? So if you are doing a late swap, you do not need to. The late swap doesn't look at the lineups in the build. It is looking at the lineups in your contest file. So when you click save, right, those lineups go into your entry file and then those lineups get loaded up to the site. We go off of the lineups that are in the entry file. So it doesn't matter what your lineups look like in the build. We know what lineups are in your file and we will late swap those specifically. All right. Joshua said, is there a YouTube video showing you how to come up with rules for NBA like NFL? So if you're looking for a rules tutorial, go to the top right corner, go to help. And then in our tutorial section, click view more. In this SaberSim frequently asked questions and glossary, we have a video, how to use lineup rules. This is a general video. You know, this isn't for, I'll drop it here in the YouTube chat. We don't recommend a rules-heavy approach to building lineups. My advice on rules is that you should only use them in basically two situations. Number one, SaberSim is not doing something you specifically want it to do, or basically the complete opposite, where SaberSim is doing something you definitely don't want it to do. So a good example would be like for NFL, where it is giving you some QB plus zero stacks, where it is giving you a quarterback by itself with no position players. And maybe you're like, hey, I always want to use a position player with my quarterback. So then that would be a good time to set a rule. Like, hey, you know, if at least one quarterback on a team use at least one pass catcher, right? Like that's a good time to set a rule because you're effectively just wasting those lineups. If you know you are not open to playing QB plus zero, that'd be a good time to set a rule. So that's something that you want, right? I want that. The other would be something I don't want. And that would be like, hey, you know, SaberSim is playing two running backs from the same team, and I never want to play two running backs from the same team ever. So then that'd be a good time to set a rule. Like, hey, use no more than one running back from the same team. That would be a I do not want rule, right? So either something you want, something you don't want, those are the two times to set rules. Other than that, we don't really recommend setting too many rules here. So those are up to you. All right. Samuel said, follow up to my question. Will it be better to use unique rank or rank? So I think it depends on how many entries you have. You know, if you have 600 entries, right? I think it's fine to use rank because you're already using so many lineups from your pool at that point. I think it's okay to let those overlap. Now, if you're only playing, you know, 10 single entries and you have 10 entries total, well, then I would recommend using unique rank, right? So for me, it's like, hey, how many good lineups do I have in my pool? And like, if a lineup does well in one, do I want to use it in another? And the more entries I have, typically the more inclined I am to use rank as opposed to unique rank. All right. Derek said, my man, thank you. You're welcome. All right. Another question. How much is too much when editing the exposures for NBA? I go game by game and make tweaks, but feel like it can be an overkill as I am overwriting SaberSim. So two things on this, right? Number one is you always want your lineups to look the way you want, right? You want to enter a set of lineups that you are comfortable with. And you never want to be kicking yourself at the end of the day like, hey, I knew I should have adjusted X, Y, and Z. I'm such an idiot, you know, da-da-da-da-da. All that other like negative talk, you know, you never want to put yourself in that spot, right? So when you take matters into your own hands, you know, at least you could say like, I think it's normal to come at it from that approach, at least like in the beginning. And then, you know, the more you get familiar with SaberSim, the more you see where it's right and it makes good decisions and you get more trusting in the tool, then you can like start to be a little bit more hands-off, more hands-off, more hands-off. But if adjusting exposures and things like that make you comfortable with your lineups, then you should continue to do that, right? But what I would recommend is having some aggregate metrics up where you can see the impact that your changes are having, at least using SaberSim as a feedback mechanism where you are making an adjustment and SaberSim is saying, hey, you can make this adjustment. It's fine, but you're going to have to sacrifice 4 points projection across your lineup set in order to do it. And then it's up to you to be like, am I okay with that? Or do I want to relax that, that decision? Right. And at that point, you're just using SaberSim for the feedback, but you're still in control of the decisions. All right. Javier said, hi, can you give an example how to enter lineups on DK from players you select / highlight in your pool? I feel like my lineups I select never get put into DraftKings. Okay. So what I would recommend, well, there's a couple of things that could possibly be going on here, right? So say I have 20 lineups, right? And let's say I want to filter my lineups. So say I want a lineup. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna do something a little bit more specific, right? So let's say that I'm playing three lineups. So SaberSim is defaulting to 20 here because I don't have my entries file loaded up. So say I need three lineups, right? Or better yet, let's say I need one lineup. So let's say I'm gonna come in here and I'm like, okay, I want to play Colin Sexton. And, you know, I want to play So in my top 20 lineups here, there's only one lineup that matches both of those players, right? So to have Sexton and Saar, their only lineup 5 has them. If I do this and then I click save, this is not the lineup I will get. And the reason for that is because we are just filtering the lineups down. There are still 20 lineups here, and lineups 1 through 4 are still in this build. So if I was and if I was using, you know, unique rank or rank 2, so I'm looking at lineup 5, but if I turn these off, lineup 1 is still here. So lineup 1 would go into my contest, right? If I want to get lineup 5, what I would have to do is, okay, I filter for Saar. Okay, I filter for Sexton. I get lineup 5. What I would recommend is locking the lineup with the lock icon, turning the filters off, And then you go to lineups, you go to one. Now it's going to prioritize your locked lineup, and now I can enter it, and now I will know that this lineup goes into my contest, right? Another way you could do it, right, is if this way is too tedious, say I go back to 20 lineups, say, okay, I want to go back and find my lineup with Saar and Sexton, I could click the star icon on this lineup. It will send this one lineup to the favorites tab, where I can see that there is one lineup here. I can go to favorites. I can verify this is the lineup I asked for. And then I can click save. And then now this one lineup will go into my contest, right? So the biggest thing to note here is that filters do not determine what lineup goes into your file when you save. It is always going to be, if you want to guarantee that Saar and Sexton go into the lineups, it is always better to use min and max exposures. Okay. Min and max exposures are always going to be better options. All right. Samuel said, okay. Derek said, makes sense. Thanks. No problem. Let's see. Let's go back to Office Hours channel and Discord. Looks like we have one more question here. It's possible Derek asked this in both YouTube chat and Office Hours because this question is very, very similar. But either way, let me grab it real quick. All right. When playing a 20 max, ideally, what's a maximum exposure on a player without overdoing it? Okay, these questions are slightly different. So whenever I think about individual player exposure, right? There's two things I like to look at: the ownership of the player and the leverage that you have, right? So like some people, they approach a 20 max like, you know what? I would never, ever have 100% of any one player, because what if that guy gets hurt, right? What if that guy has a bad game? What if that guy gets benched? Like, I'm toast. You know, I'm definitely going to lose that day. Some people take that approach, right? Some people are like, hey, I like to have a core of players where I have three players in all of my entries, because when those three guys go off, I have a bunch of different ways that I can now win because my core hit, right? So like part of that is a risk management question. Part of that is very, very, you know, player specific, and you're going to talk to people and they're going to have different opinions about that all the time. So the answer is there's no right answer to the maximum exposure. You got to figure out what makes sense to you. And in order to figure out what makes sense to you, I think it's good to look at ownership and leverage, right? Because let's say that, you know, let's go back to Kyle Kuzma, because I had that 50% exposure I set to him earlier, right? So I go to Kyle Kuzma. He's in 100% of my lineups. Okay, well, look, he's 50% owned, right? So 50% of the lineups in this contest are going to have this player, right? This isn't, you know, massive leverage at all. This is twice the field, right? Like if he was, you know, take a 10% owned player, and this is the equivalent of having him in 20% of your lineups, right? You're not actually getting that much leverage, or you're not, you know, drastically overexposed to this player compared to the field, right? So that's the first thing I like to think about. That's one way I like to come from it. The second is, you know, what is the player's ownership, right? Because 100% of a 50% owned player is a lot different than 100% of a 10% owned player, right? So you got to think about like, hey, just how big of a stand are you taking on this guy? So you got to figure out what makes sense to you there. For me personally, about 2 to 3x exposure compared to a player's ownership feels about right most of the time. So like, I wouldn't mind having 100% of Kuzma, but I probably would mind having 100% of Josh Giddey at 18%, or like 100% of Jonas Valanciunas at like 11%. Those feel a little high to me. So I'd be a little bit more inclined to set a maximum exposure or do something to lower those numbers if I were getting those guys at 100%. All right. Question from earlier, they figured out Flashback. That's awesome. Glad it's working for you. And those were our last questions. So I feel like we hit on a ton of good questions today. Appreciate everybody tuning in. I will be back here tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.